This morning, we're going to finish our sermon series on the life of David. We're going to be in 2 Samuel, the 12th chapter, if you want to turn there. This is the message that the Lord laid on my heart for last week. The Lord had a different plan, and He's provided me an opportunity to bring this message this morning. I think it's an important message for us as the church, as the body of Christ, as believers, to understand. The title of the message this morning is A Bell Rung Cannot Be Unrung. And that's an important concept, and I want you to hold on to that as we go through, which really ties well to Pastor David's challenge of putting on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. It's important for each of us to understand and to learn. You know, the Old Testament stories, the life of David was given to us by God as an admonishment, as an example for us about things to and things not to, of how to live a life and how to live a life well. Let us be a people that learns from other people's mistakes and avoid falling into the trap of sin. Today, you know, as we finish our series, Pastor David began with Area 51. How many people stormed Area 51? Did anybody storm Area 51? I know there were some people camping out down there, but I didn't read in the news where the military shot up a bunch of people trying to storm Area 51. But I hope that we're people who storms Area 51, that understands the forgiveness that God has for us in Christ, and that when we do have issues in our lives, if we fall into sin, that we storm Area 51, that we bring our sin to the Lord, and we're quick to confess that. This morning, as we look at this message, I want to talk about consequences. You know, it's something that we as the people of God need to be mindful of, that decisions in life have consequences. Decisions in life have good consequences and they have bad consequences. Everyone who made a decision to get up this morning and get dressed and come here to the house of the Lord, I would say to you this morning that you have made the most excellent decision this morning. I pray this morning as you've been here, as you've been in life group, or you've been here this morning, as you've come in for our main service, that you've had a time of fellowship. And I pray that, you know, as you've interacted with one another, you've found the blessing of the Lord that is found uniquely in the manifestation of the congregation of the church. I pray this morning as Savannah's led us in worship that you've had an opportunity to meet with the Lord. You know, the Bible says that the Lord inhabits the praise of His people, and that you're able to open your heart and to begin to praise God, to take our focus off of the circumstances of life and to look up and to see the King of Kings who sits at the right hand of God the Father, who's well pleased with our worship and our decision this morning. And I pray that He honors that decision this morning. There are consequences to bad choices as well. This morning in the chapter 12, we're going to be in verses 7 through 15. We're going to look at some of that and what happened in the life of David. And we're going to talk about what can we learn from this and David's sin from Bathsheba and what came of it. To be admonished, to be warned by the Word of God this morning as we live our lives, to be thoughtful about our actions, to be thoughtful about how we begin and prepare for our day. You know, if we rise in the morning and our mind is stayed upon the Lord, we put on the whole armor of God, it's going to help us to avoid these pitfalls. And so this morning I'm going to read beginning in verse 7 through 15, and then I want to draw a few things from this, understanding that a bell rung, a decision made, an action taken cannot be untaken. Beginning in verse 7 in chapter 12, it says, "And then Nathan said to David, Thou art a man, or thou art the man, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul." Just quickly here, a little background to this. This is after the child is born, after David's sin with Bathsheba, and he's tried to hide it. He's tried to hide it by taking an action to have Uriah killed, her husband, whenever he called Uriah back and Uriah wouldn't go through with being with his wife and meeting with her so that they could cover up the conception of the child. And so it would naturally fit in the timeline. Uriah rather was loyal to his troops and refused to go into his wife. And so David hatched a new plot and he plotted to have Uriah killed in the fighting. And now the child has been born and David has taken Bathsheba as his wife. Many of us know the story, but if you don't, that's some of the background. Nathan's now come to confront him. And he's calling out David's sin. And in verse 8, the Lord says to David, He says, "And I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives unto thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in His sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Amnon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house. I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of the sun. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme the children, or to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. And Nathan departed unto his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. Father, this morning, I just come this morning humbly, Lord. I pray, Lord, as we examine this word, Father, that our hearts would be open and receptive to it. Father, I pray that we would also, as we examine this text, understand that thou art a God of mercy, and a God who desires, Lord, for restoration and fellowship with all people, Father. And let us not see this message as one that would say that in some way, Lord, that you are consumed with wrath against your people, but Father, rather that you are a God of justice and a God that is not mocked with the things that men do. Father, I pray, Lord, now that you would speak to us through your word. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, Nathan the prophet comes to David in this text, and he begins to call out the sin of David's life, and he begins to lay out that sin has consequences. That, you know, when we take actions, they're not, even in secret, their actions always have consequences. I'm reminded of a story of a young boy sitting on a porch with his grandpa. Some of you grandpas in here will understand what it's like to sit on the porch with your grandchildren. And the young boy asks Grandpa, he says, Grandpa, you know how to make animal sounds? Grandpa says, are you sure I know how to make animal sounds? He says, well, how about a toad? Can you make the sound of a toad? Do you know what that sounds like? Grandpa says, yeah, it's a... Cups his hands and he says, croak, croak. The young boy begins to shout, yippee, all right, jumping up and down, shouting, and he's all excited, and Grandpa's confused. You know, the sound of a croak, of a toad, maybe making a toad, gets you all excited. He's like, well, Grandpa, he says, well, so what's up? And Granny says, well, Grandpa, you got to understand, Grandpa said we're going to Miami. Grandpa's kind of confused. He says, well, Grandma said when you croak, we're all going to Miami. Can you just imagine at that moment that Grandma wishes she'd been anywhere else? Amen. Grandpa, I pray you live long and prosper. Amen. A bell rung can't be unrung. Just like David at that moment with Uriah, or with Nathan the prophet standing before him, probably wished he'd been anywhere else. Probably wished he'd done anything else. Probably wished that he had never conceived to have an affair with Uriah's wife, had never conceived to have him killed. You see, consequences to every action, both good and bad, occur in our lives. We're reminded of this in the sixth chapter of the book of Galatians, as the Apostle Paul warns us of this very principle. In the beginning, in the seventh verse, it says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And here Nathan pronounces that sowing of the flesh and the consequences that it shall reap. But he also, there's something I want to look at, though, it's kind of found fascinating this morning as I was restudying this, is in verse 8, God said something to David that I thought was profound. He said, and I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives unto thy bosom. I gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. If that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. There are these ways, these things that we do. And David had an idea about having this affair to gratify his own flesh. But God says, had you chosen to be obedient to me, I would have blessed you even more. Could you think about this morning in your own lives, and I thought about this in my own life, those times when I've chosen to be disobedient to the Lord, the blessing I missed out on. Amen? And what God would have wanted to have in my life, what God could have had in my life, had I chosen to be obedient, rather than like David, having chosen to be disobedient and experienced the consequences of those actions. Nathan begins in verse 10 through 12 and in verse 14 to lay out those consequences. David's going to experience three things as a result of his actions. The sword will never depart from his house. He's never going to have peace in his lifetime. David will not find peace as a result of these actions in his lifetime. The adversity that he will face will arise from within his own house, his own family. And the child that was conceived with Bathsheba will die. You see, in our lives, it's always interesting. And David, he thought, you know, I'm going to do this thing in secret. No one's ever going to know. And that's generally how sin is we think, you know what, we can keep this secret. No one's ever going to know. The Bible warns us that those things done in the secret shall be proclaimed in the light. That sin may be fun for a season, but then consequences come. You see, our sin doesn't affect us alone. David thought, I'll do this thing over here with Bathsheba. No one will ever know. No one will be harmed. There won't be any consequences. It'll just be a fun time. But yet that's never the case. Number one, does anybody think of a sin you've ever committed in your life that God didn't know? So there's always someone who knows, right? You know, I was thinking about that too. You know, anytime that I do anything, God always knows because He's always right there. That omnipresent thing that's so inconvenient. And God is everywhere. And God always knows. And our sins, they affect others in our lives, just like in the life of David. Others are affected. Our sins are not as secret as we believe them to be. If we go forward through the remainder of 2 Samuel, if you read through the rest of this book, you'll see the consequences that unfold in David's life as a result of this sin. Number one, David's son Amnon rapes his sister Tamar. The second thing that David experienced here is that while he was angry, he did nothing, which led to Amnon's brother Absalom killing him to avenge Tamar. Absalom fled from David, so David lost two sons that day for a period of time as Absalom fled from his presence. Not only did Amnon die, but Absalom fled. Later that David would have him restored and return to Israel, but Absalom still angry at his father would lead a revolt against him, and David would be forced to flee Jerusalem and live in exile as a result. In David's quest to regain the throne, Absalom would subsequently be killed in the fighting as David sought to regain his throne. David again in his life would face rebellion from within Israel, from within his own house, although the extended house of David, led by Sheba the Benjamite. And finally, David would sin against the Lord, numbering the people of Israel, resulting in the Lord sending a plague of judgment, causing 70,000 people to die in Israel in one day. David's own insecurity, everything that he struggled with, caused him to number the people of Israel when God said, don't do that. See, sin has an effect. Our actions have a consequence, a far-reaching consequence. Throughout all of this, it began with the immediate members of his family. Now, the interesting thing about the sin with Bathsheba is we all know how whispers begin, right? So the people in the palace knew that Bathsheba could see David. They knew from the very beginning. And then there was that thing, the rumor mill. People began to gossip. People then saw Uriah suddenly come back. And then people knew that Uriah died. Anybody in here say, you know, if I was there, I could probably start to piece some things together. See, the servants knew. The other wives of David would have known these things happened. David's children would have known. Absalom would have known. Amnon would have known. Tamar would have known. These actions began to taint the things that are going on in his own family, in his own household. Everyone saw, everyone knew, and each was affected in their own way by David's decision to have an affair with Bathsheba. Ultimately, every man, woman, and child was affected directly or indirectly by David's decision. Everyone was affected by this, subsequently through Absalom's rebellion and the split and the civil war that it caused within the kingdom. Thousands died because of David's sin. It's interesting how our sin ripples. It's like throwing a stone in the water and watching that ripple out. The stone enters the water at that point, poof, but then begins to ripple out across the water. All of our decisions do that. Even the decisions we make, the righteous decisions that we make, they have a ripple effect in our lives. Think about those of you who prioritized the house of God this weekend. And you brought your children. Does that have a ripple effect? Does that send out ripples across time? Think about you as you come here, if you prioritize the Word of God. And it's not just, I came on Sunday morning, check. Now I'll move on to my next thing. But you know, I came this morning because I love the Lord and I came to worship. I came to hear the Word. I came to get something from the message. I came here this morning to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. That I can go home and I can live out and prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. That I can present my body a living sacrifice. I'm paraphrasing a little bit, stealing from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, if you want to look there later. I beseech you there this morning to present your bodies a living sacrifice, just as I have done, that I might be changed, I might be transformed. Come and I hear Pastor David preach, I hear Pastor Wayne preach, when I prepare sermons for myself, when I do my own personal study and devotion, to be transformed, to be changed, to make positive ripples in the lives of the people around me. You know, as you come here and people know, how many people in here have friends who know you go to church? We can all raise our hands, we all do. They're making decisions about church as they watch our lives. They're deciding, you know, hey, is this Christian thing for real or is it just a bunch of trying to feel good? Need something to help you get through life. Are you genuinely a Christ follower or are you just one of those? Is anything real? Now think about that as somebody looks at your life and they see someone who takes God's Word lightly. They see a person who has some just little sins in their life because they know not everyone's perfect, right? Little pets we keep over to the side. We won't let them get too big. We'll keep them in the cage, right? Little things they see in our lives. And they're deciding about this whole Christian thing. And they're deciding if this is something that they want to pursue in their life based off of you. You may be the only Jesus anybody ever reads or meets. The only Bible they read. The only Jesus they know. And they're making decisions off of that. The decisions you make about how you live your life. Just as people were making decisions off of David and how he lived his life and the things they saw him do. Wouldn't that be sad if that was your child? Wouldn't that be sad if that was your brother? Your sister? Aunts, uncles? If we lose our voice, an opportunity to share the gospel because of the things they see us do. Just like David lost his voice. And the sin with Bathsheba, he lost his voice. How could he go to Amnon and say, this that you have done is evil in the sight of the Lord, where Amnon knew well that not only did he have sex with Uriah's wife, but he also had him killed to cover it up. David lost his voice. Not only with Amnon, but maybe even within. Sometimes we go to people and say, you shouldn't do this and you shouldn't do that. And I've done it. Or then the Lord will bring to mind my own sin. Have to put the brakes on. David lost his voice. David lost his family. David lost his way. He lost many things in this sin. It's important that we understand that as we make decisions, they have consequences. You know, I thought about this, and I want to share this with you guys. As I was preparing this message, the Lord kind of began to speak to me. He said, Mike, have you ever considered, you know, the impact it would have if you decided to have an affair? And I was like, why would I do that? I mean, I married the best woman in the world, right? She's the prettiest, the smartest. She's the most patient because she puts up with me, amen? Some of you guys know that. I mean, those who didn't say amen, I get it. I appreciate your compassion towards me and your kindness. But I began to think about that. You know, I began to think, you know, because, you know, we have family scattered out all over the place. So if I were to choose to do that and be found out, and I would, you know, don't never go into these things thinking you won't be found out, because you will. You know, I have family in Colorado, you know, her and brother-in-law, my sister-in-law are in Colorado. Boom, there's a ripple effect. I also have family in New York. Boom, there's a ripple effect. Also have family here locally down in Branson. You know, as my brother-in-law's pastoring a church down in Branson. Boom, there's an effect. And of course, mom's here, Renee. And then of course, I have my side of the family here that all know. Boom, there's an effect. My own kids, my sons in Sedalia. Boom, there's an effect. My daughter here in town. Boom, there's an effect. I have family in South Carolina. Boom, there's an effect. And then God began to say, well, hey, what about your church family? You know, you have this church family. And I think, wow, you know, that's you got a good point, because there's the Will Gibson clan over here. Boom, there's an effect. Rippling down through. Ryan, Felicia, boom, there's an effect. All the youth that I'm over here trying to tell them, take the Word of God seriously. Boom, there's an effect. And think about all of the lives that we touch. Think about your own systems as that begins to affect you. And I began to realize that, you know what, if I were to throw that stone in the water, just how far the consequences of that decision would reach. Have you ever considered how broad your own influence is in life? All the people that you know in different places who know that you're a Christian, were you to make such a decision, and the impact it might have on them. See, I'm going to say again, our sin does not affect us only. It affects everyone around us in people, ways that we don't even know. Just as we see the consequences of David's sin in his life. And understand here, it's not that God, when He pronounced judgment, is now all of a sudden out to get David. Sin has its own consequences. God merely looked down the road and said, all right, David, this is what's going to happen now. It's important for us to understand, and I want you to understand it, and that God's wrath against us has been satisfied. When we do storm Area 51, we can come confidently and boldly to the throne of grace to find help in time of need. 1 John 2, chapter 2, verse 2 reminds us that He, Jesus, is the propitiation for our sins, or that which appeases God's wrath. Not only for mine, but yours also in the sins of the whole world, but that doesn't negate consequences. God won't do that. Both positive and negative. And it's important for us as the people of God to remember that. We can come to God and we can find forgiveness just as David found forgiveness. And Psalms 51 records that as he poured out his heart and cried unto the Lord, he said, restore unto me the joy of your salvation. Cleanse me with the hyssop. Make me white as snow. And we can find forgiveness, and you and I can find forgiveness. But that won't undo the consequences. And it's important for us to remember that as we live our lives. Because as I experience consequences, so does my wife. As I experience consequences, so do my children. As I experience consequences of sin in my life, so do you guys. As you experience consequences of sin in your life, it affects me too. Whether it's yours or someone else's, sometimes we're affected by other people's sins. But that's why we come to church to be ministered to find encouragement, because life's tough out there, whether it's things I've done or things other people have done. We're always being affected by that. Let us be a people of God who takes seriously God's admonition to put on the whole armor of God that we may be stand against the wiles of the devil. You know, I watch sometimes and I try to be mindful. Currently, right now, the devil is laying a trap for me. It may come as a shock. Currently, right now, the devil's laying a trap for you. It may come as a shock. But that's what he does. We don't always see them, but we should get better at seeing them. We put on the whole armor of God that we may stand against the wiles of the devil, being able to see those things, being able to know what the Word of God teaches, being able to bring into subjection all of our thoughts, our flesh, our desires, to obedience, to bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And finally, this morning, I want to bring this morning. It's important to know that there's redemption. You know, this is an important part. Even in David's life, he found redemption. You know what? If we do make mistakes, there's redemption. And this is an important part of it. It's important for all of us to know that the gospel message preached to the whole world is that there is redemption for the sinner. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." If you're here this morning and you've never trusted the Lord as your Savior, if you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there's redemption this morning. God's desire is to restore relationship with you. God's desire is to bring you eternally into His kingdom. There's redemption this morning. Just as David found redemption in his life. There's redemption for the saint. You know, and I shared this last week, you know, when we do have issues in our lives and fall into sin, God desires to forgive us. 1 John 1:9, which was our memory verse last week, says that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all of our unrighteousness. It's important to know that as we all find ourselves there. I try to keep a short list of things I haven't talked to the Lord about so that the Lord doesn't have to come talk to me about them. Amen. Because somewhere we're going to have that conversation. And finally, this morning, there's redemption for our experiences. This, you know, I look at this in my own life this morning. You know, I made a lot of decisions in my life that there's still consequences in my life for. But God has redeemed those things, and He's taken those things. You know, Romans 8:28 tells us that He causes all things to work together for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. No matter what we face this morning, no matter what you're facing this morning, no matter what you've gone through last week, no matter what's going on, God can take that and He can redeem it and He can use it for good. Everything that I ever went through, every decision I made, every action that I took, and I did those willfully and willingly, God has taken those and worked together for good in the life that I now live and the ministry that God's called me to. And I'm able to reach out and reach into people's lives because of the experience that I have. And it's made me a better person, I think, in some ways, to certain populations, certain people, a better minister. And so God can take those experiences this morning and He can use them. But I want to end with this morning. Savannah's going to come. We'll have a time of invitation. I want to go back to verse 8. I want us to be reminded, because sometimes doing the right thing isn't easy. Verse 8, it says, "And I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives unto thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things." God has given me wonderful things. He's given me a wonderful wife. He's given me a wonderful family. He's given me a wonderful church. He's given me Pastor David to be under. And if this isn't enough for me, if I'll continue to be obedient to the Lord, He'll give me much more. And if you have, you know, maybe not what you need, but you have what you maybe, well, let me rephrase that. You have what you want, but not what you need this morning. If you'll continue to be faithful, I'm here to tell you this morning that our God wants to give you much, much more. He wants to bless you this morning overly and abundantly, more than you could think or ask. And that's praise this morning. That's worthy of praise. And so as we stand to our feet this morning, I want us to think and be a people that think and reason through this message. If you're here this morning and you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, I would encourage you this morning, talk to Pastor David, talk to Pastor Wayne, meet with myself. I'd love to share the gospel with you and how you can become a follower of Christ. If you're here this morning and maybe it's just been a struggle this week and you just want to come and you just want to say, "Thank you, Lord, for getting me here, helping me survive another week." Amen. Sometimes that's praise report right there. If you're here this morning, maybe there's things going on in your life that you don't understand, circumstances you don't understand, the altars are open this morning. Come and pray. Whatever your need this morning, the Lord's here to meet you this morning.